Honorable Dr. Arshadi Silva, you have 12 minutes.
10?
You have 12 minutes.
12 minutes. Thank you, Honorable Speaker. Someone from opposition will reply the Honorable Minister on the bill that he presented today.
Order, please. Niyojya Kathanak Tuma Moola Asanayata Paminnatha.
You may continue.
Thank you, sir. Like I said, we have two matters of business, so I'm in fact going to discuss the repeal of the Foreign Loans Act. While we appreciate the technology that has been introduced, which I think is far overdue, you must ensure that, like you said, in the first instance, the person has to be brought physically to the magistrate. And so on. So there are two sides to it. Let's ensure that together we can implement this. So this is progressive. Like I said, now when we repeal the Foreign Loans Act, Mr. Deputy Speaker, what happens is we go to the Public Debt Management Act that we approved last year. Because under the Foreign Loans Act, various agencies could borrow for the government. Or sometimes for state-owned enterprises and so on. So now everything is going to be brought to one place, which is in the Ministry of Finance. Ideally, this should have been an independent debt office, but it is still within the purview of the Ministry of Finance. So hereinafter, whether it is issuing of a treasury bill, a treasury bond, what now happens, the auction is at the central bank, all these will move to the Treasury office from the 1st of January. So there will be certain infrastructure issues that need to be resolved, personal issues that need to be resolved and all that. But I'll let the government explain all that. But I'm going to take a critical view, Honorable Deputy Speaker, on what I see as a very sort of a, oxymoronic situation here. Why I say that is, on the one hand, today we are going to go back to the, or we are going to start making the Public Debt Management Act implementable because we are repealing the Foreign Loans Act. But at the same time, you table today the Sri Lanka Electricity Amendment Act. So I'm going to try and show you how these are so contradictory and why it is not good for the progress of this country. So therefore, once you remove the responsibility from the central bank and other agencies and give the total responsibility to the Ministry of Finance Public Debt Office, they will then be, they'll have the responsibility both to borrow domestically and internationally. Now, when you borrow internationally, what you're talking about is international sovereign bonds, which this government has promised to go to the market in 2027. Then other commercial facilities, let's say from HSBC Bank or wherever it is, then multilateral agencies like the World Bank, ADB and all that. So that's one. Let's keep that for a moment on the side. The second one is domestic borrowing. Like I mentioned earlier, T-bills, T-bonds and things like that. But there is something that's very important that I want to raise today, and that is the guarantees given by the sovereign when commercial enterprises, state-owned enterprises, let's say Sri Lankan Airlines, Ceylon Electricity Board, etc., goes and borrows in the commercial market overseas. Now, there was a law in 2003 called the Financial Management Responsibility Act, which limited the guarantees the sovereign could give to these SOEs at, I believe, originally at 5% of GDP. Then it was raised to 7.5%. Believe me, it went to 15% at one point. And when we crashed as a country, not only that, we had borrowed all kinds of dollars from all kinds of people, but the sovereign had guaranteed an enormous amount of borrowings by commercial enterprises which couldn't actually pay them back. For instance, Sri Lankan Airlines or Road Development Authority or UDA and so on. So now, just to give you a simple example, the other day we were discussing yesterday about the Mattal Airport. Mattal Airport was an absolutely useless borrowing of $200 million, which is not bringing any revenue. So what happened was, the government guaranteed all kinds of facilities for all kinds of infrastructure projects, not looking at whether those were able to pay back those loans. So therefore, what a lot of people don't know is we say that we have outer bankruptcy and all that. Now, how that is defined is when rating agencies remove a country from the default rating. Yes, Fitch and Moody's have done that. But the big one, the S&P, Standard & Poor's, have still not taken Sri Lanka out of the default rating. And the reason for that, Honorable Sir, is because Sri Lankan Airlines is in default. It has borrowed in the international market $175 million. Now with the interest building up, because it hasn't been serviced for the last couple of years, it has gone beyond $200 million. So what S&P is saying is, we are not able to remove Sri Lanka from default status, meaning bankruptcy in the general language, unless Sri Lankan Airlines is able to either restructure this facility or pay this loan. So currently we are in discussions. I'll come to that in a minute. Now, we'll stick to Sri Lankan Airlines for a moment, because we saw the president had met the chairman and the board of the airline along with the unions, and I read in the press release, he had said something to the effect that the government will make all sacrifices to ensure that the Sri Lankan Airlines remains a state-owned entity and succeed, which means there is no opportunity for private investments to come into Sri Lankan Airlines. So taxpayers will have to ensure that this airline continues to function. And I'll tell you why that is important in the context of what we are trying to do today. Now, we saw in the papers yesterday, a lot of young women are lining up for cabin crew positions. Some 12,000 young women had applied, we saw. But you know that we already have 975 of them, and we spend 9 billion rupees a year. And we operate 45 routes. Of the 45 routes, you know, Sri Lankan Airlines financial accounts have been released only a couple of weeks ago for the last year, ending 31 March. Out of the 45 routes, they say 31 routes are making losses. 31, right? So as a matter of fact, as of 25 March 31st, Sri Lankan Airlines loss had increased by 143% to 3.4 billion. This is while fuel cost had come down by a staggering 23.5 billion, right? And but interestingly and unfortunately, passenger revenue had come down by 40 billion rupees. And like I said, while passenger revenue is coming down by 40 billion rupees, 31 out of the 45 routes are being run on a unprofitable basis. Now, the debt of Sri Lankan Airlines is about $978 million. That is almost $1 billion, plus it has 51 billion rupees in unpaid debt. Now, attempting to restructure this $200 million bond through Lazards, the issue that comes up today, sir, because we are repealing the old act, is this. Now, if a state-owned enterprise wants to borrow money in the international market, unlike in the past where they got guarantees by the state without any questions being asked, they have to look at what is called a stress test. There's a tool that has been provided by the International Monetary Fund, and then they will look at the ability of that enterprise to make repayments or service the debt. And based on that, they will say, you have to pay the government of Sri Lanka such a premium. Now, what we hear is very interestingly that the Ceylon Electricity Board is trying to raise a mere $50 million, which is nothing, drop in the ocean for the CEB, because it needs thousands of millions of dollars of investments. Now, they're trying to get a loan for that from the AIIB. And once it went through the stress test, you know what they found out? That the CEB must pay 4.8% as premium to the government of Sri Lanka to borrow just $50 million from the AIIB. Now you see the problem. So this is where we are going. That is financial discipline. We need to have financial discipline. But the point is, can we afford to do this? I'll come to that in a minute, right? Now, if you look at, coming back to the Sri Lankan Airlines, they are saying, look, we will make these payments, and who will underwrite that risk? If Sri Lankan Airlines goes through this stress test, I don't know what kind of premium it will have to pay to the government to borrow or to settle this loan. And I honestly don't think that the debtors will agree, the creditors will agree to let Sri Lankan Airlines just undertake this responsibility without the government coming in. So ultimately, it is going to come back on the state itself. So therefore, it is double jeopardy, because we can't pay the premium, in my view. If that is not the case, somebody can explain later on. So then, therefore, if the government is not going to bring in private investment and going to use taxpayer money for Sri Lankan Airlines, what is the plan for Sri Lankan Airlines? There are two options, right? Given it is going to be run by us, by our taxpayer money. One is downsize the airline. That is one option that has been proposed. One is to expand the airline. If you downsize the airline, you eliminate the unprofitable lines, 31 out of the 45 I just mentioned, and try to cut the losses, and over a period of time, hopefully we'll be able to get back in business. Or the other one is immediate to try to expand the airline, which the airline is going to do, which it has formally announced that it is going to buy five or lease five new aircraft this year and next year, taking the fleet up to 25.
Now, the question is, you have 2 more minutes.
Right. The question is, some are saying this is called the Haley's plan. Because the discussion here, you know, we know that a person who is on the board of the Haley's is the chairman also of Sri Lankan Airlines. And we heard that people said, Sarathithin apitheka hitiyane desapalane apita amaru kale. But that's not the way to appoint a CEO or a chairman to run an enterprise like Sri Lankan Airlines that is going to run into all these issues. Now, coming back to the repeal of the Foreign Loans Act, like I mentioned to you earlier, this 50 million is nothing. But to get that 50 million, you are going to have to pay a massive premium to the government, which the Ceylon Electricity Board cannot afford. Now let us look at this other bill that you tabled today. In this, what you are doing is you are taking away the opportunities for private investment. Unless you have private investment in transmission and distribution, sir, there is no way in which you can raise this money based on the new act. And I'm telling you, I'm not blaming you. I'm not accusing you. Please understand, I love this country as much as you do and everybody else does. Right? You cannot do this because you just can't raise the money. So on the one hand, you are saying that we are going to go back to the Public Debt Management Act, repealing the Foreign Loans Act, which means that the government has to give guarantees for the SOEs to borrow in the international markets. But to do that, you're unable to pay those premiums, so therefore, you're not going to be able to get the investment. I am not talking only about next government factory that close. Maybe that was an outlier, I don't know. But make sure that current investors don't leave. But we need more investors to come in. Because you know that you promised the whole country that you are going to invest 1.3 trillion in capital expenditures this year. But you know how much you have already spent. I don't think you have even spent 200 billion. Half the year has gone. Like, if I'm wrong, somebody can correct it. So you have to spend more than a trillion rupees in the next 6 months. You can't do it. It's not possible. Because you can't even get guarantees from the state. No sovereign guarantees can come without the premium being paid. So if the CEB has to pay a 5% premium, and there is another some 2-3% interest anyway, 7-8%, 9%, you can't borrow and build the kind of infrastructure you need to build. You talked about building a storage for battery storage. That is going to cost over $1 billion. And let me tell you, the World Bank, ADB and others are not going to look at commercially viable enterprises like CEB the way they used to look at it those days. Because they are saying, look, you go to the commercial markets, you have your own balance sheet, you have a credit rating. Based on that, you can get a government guarantee. If so, go ahead and borrow in the commercial market. We will look at education and health and fields like that. They're not commercially viable in the international markets. So therefore, what I have to say, Honorable Deputy Speaker, is that this is good. This brings discipline. But at the same time, you have to be pragmatic.
Sharishwara, you have exhausted your
right.
time.
I'll finish in 30 seconds. You have to be pragmatic. I'm actually being honest, totally honest here. Right? So the only way you can operate within this new law that you are bringing today by repealing the Foreign Loans Act is if you open doors for private investments into infrastructure. Otherwise, you cannot. I will tell you today, sir, at the end of this year, I will tell you today, the government will not be able to come anywhere near 1.4 trillion promised capital expenditure. It cannot be done based on this new law that you are bringing. So I'll end with what I started the budget debate for the opposition. I said it is like a parish priest preaching banner at a Buddhist temple. That is what is happening. On the one hand, you are saying, look, we are bringing these new laws and we will go to the commercial markets. On the other hand, you are saying, well, we are closing all the doors.
Okay.